This is the Astrology University podcast, helping you find inspiration, insight, and connection through the study of astrology. And I'm your host, Tony Howard. Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of the Astrology University podcast. And I'm joined today by Kira Sutherland. And if you don't know Kira, Kira is an Australian naturopath and sports nutritionist with more than 20 years in clinical practice. Her focus in performance nutrition led her to be the first naturopath in Australia to undertake the International Olympic Committee's diploma in sports nutrition. Kira is, of course, also an astrologer and a medical astrologer. And through her naturopathic practice and work, she's the 2019 winner of the Bioceuticals Integrative Medicine Award for Excellence in Practice. Congrats on that, Kira.
Oh, thank you. Combining two of my bios.
Yes. And Kira divides her time between clinical practice, lecturing at the undergraduate level, and mentoring practitioners of complementary medicine in the application of holistic sports nutrition. In her free time, she competes in endurance sport and skis with her family as much as possible, in addition to maintaining an astrological consulting practice. So thank you for joining us today, Kira. And it's great to have you here. And Kira is also one of our regular speakers at Astrology University, and she teaches us about medical astrology every year. We have a couple of courses with her and a couple of webinars as well, and we'll have you back again soon. But Kira wanted to talk to us today about this COVID-19 outbreak. You've all been reading a lot of stuff health-wise, and you've come across different health tips. And I think we're going to start by having Kira give us, distill down some of that info for us, because some of it is a little bit sketchier than others.
It's very sketchy.
there's lots of advice out there, but you definitely want to hear from somebody who's in either a doctor or a naturopath or has a solid practice, and not just your friend telling you about some weird website that they found and what they're telling you to do during this time to protect yourself. So maybe we can start there, Kira. I know you just posted an article that you liked that distilled down some information for folks, but what are some just general tips and advice you're giving people?
Yeah. Well, let me clarify too. I don't actually really want to talk about the virus itself. I want to really, legally wise, I'm not actually allowed to talk about treating the virus.
Right.
But I wanted to talk more about how people can work on their general health and their general immunity, because I actually legally can't be giving advice on how to deal with the virus.
And thanks for saying that. Very important qualification.
Yeah.
And we're just talking about ways that you can strengthen your constitution. And we're going to get into some astrological insights about that as well.
I just need to be really clear on that. It was more about, hey, let's look at, we're so scared at the moment. And, you know, one of the reasons I reached out with you, Tony, people are scared and there's all this fear and they're reading too much. And it's like, if we just took half of the energy that we have in reading the internet and freaking ourselves out, especially while we're all hopefully at home, and we just actually worked on our health. We finally have time to be at home and do some things for ourselves and to nurture our general constitution. And this is that perfect timing to maybe, actually work on all those health things that you're always too busy to work on.
Right. So what are some things that you're recommending for folks? Obviously, you know, exercise and eating well, but what does eating well mean to you?
Yeah. Eating well. You know, I just saw some posts today, people worried about how fat they're going to get being home
yes.
for 7 weeks.
People are eating a lot, not necessarily well.
Because we're stress eating. You know, let's talk about stress. Maybe let's talk stress eating first. We know we're supposed to eat healthy and we can get to that, but people are stress eating, and you know, stress is a reaction, or cortisol is, you know, astrologically that's a Mars thing, right? We're panicking. Mars is in the mix of all of this, and we, you know, when we get stressed, our moon freaks out. Our moon is all about digestion and food and our stomach, and so we start then looking for all these foods to kind of placate that moon that's sitting in so much fear and worry, and we don't always make those best choices. You know, people people make jokes about, you know, sugar or, you know, the lineup when we got told we were going into lockdown, the lineup at the alcohol stores was insane. Some of the photos I saw, and, you know, I get sugar and I get alcohol in times of stress a little bit, but those are two things that actually aren't great for our immune system.
Right.
And right now we really, I'm not saying not have a little glass of wine every now and then, but nurturing your body now is actually the best way to have a strong immune system. That's our best thing. It's a, you know, it's a pandemic. We're not totally in control of what we're going to come into contact with. So why not give yourself the best foundation possible? It's not very fun to tell people not to have sugar or alcohol, but yeah.
Yeah, but it's part of the deal with Saturn and Capricorn, and that's the rules we need to follow to take care of ourselves. And Saturn and Capricorn is not about, you know, having fun and eating whatever you want. It's about limiting your behavior and making
wise choices,
what we might call grown-up choices or adult choices, yes, if you want to call it like that, which usually has to do with limiting yourself on something that you would really rather have.
Yeah, absolutely. And Saturn is about restriction and restricting it. And it's interesting to look at all the fear around food restrictions or people running out of stuff. That's been kind of fascinating in a scary way. But, you know, and with Saturn moving into Aquarius, it's no different. It's still, you got to think, you know, you got to think wise, and you got to really, it's really about taking care and not going over those limits and, yeah, being more cautious. Saturn is what we employ for weight loss, not weight gain. So it's funny everyone talking about that, but now we have all this time in the world to do home exercise or better routine and better habits, right?
And to cook at home.
And if you can only shop once every week or once every 2 weeks, I'm like a brain surgeon right now. Don't buy shit food. Just don't buy crappy food, because you're get stuck at home and you have to eat what's there. So if it's in your cupboard, you're going to eat it, right?
Yeah, and so make good choices at the store. I've noticed at our store, like the pre-prepared foods are cleaned out on the shelves, but all the veggies are in full supply.
It breaks my heart. We're the same. I live only 200 meters from a major supermarket, but there's also a beautiful green grocer right next door, like Italian deli. And that's where I do most of my shopping. But you go into your supermarket for general stuff. And I was in the other day and it was wiped out. And I find it hilarious that it's been wiped out of carbohydrates, right? Like, everyone went for breads, grains, rice, cereal, pasta. I know it's all shelf stable, but like the other day, even the potatoes and the sweet potatoes were gone.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God. But nobody is doing the fruits and vegetables. And one of the best things you can do for your immune system is to, it sounds like cliche, but it's eat the rainbow. And I'm not talking M&Ms and Skittles. I'm talking, you know, tomato and bell peppers, which we call capsicum in Australia. And, you know, all your vibrant food, you know, veggie and fruit colors, those are the ones that are highest in vitamin D and bioflavonoids and quercetin, which are three of the things that a lot of the research coming out is saying are incredible to help your immune system against you know,
any
all
kind
viruses,
of pathogen,
actually.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, any kind of pathogen. I don't want to make about that. And yeah, it's try to make a salad with like as much color as you can. And that it's amazing. We've all been carb phobic for decades, and now everyone's wiped out carbohydrates in the shops. And carbs is sugar, and carbs is Venus, right? So everyone's gone and the ice creams are all gone. That's moon. So everyone's wants to make themselves feel better.
Yeah.
So they're going Venus and moon.
Yeah.
And probably some fats with Jupiter. Whereas we need to, it's funny. But I walked next door to the green grocer. They had everything. Everything was still there. I don't know how people can't see the shop right next door.
Interesting. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we do have to respect and honor that people are really afraid, but now that you've done your fear and panic, it's, you know, and you can start to reflect on that, because we're all going to be in our houses for a while. We don't know how long, but hopefully not hopefully not a long time, but it could be, So we'll have time to reflect, and we have time to cook at home. So can't make that excuse that I don't have time to cook. You just have to cook. You just have to cook for yourself. Because, you know, in some places,
it's so true.
They're not, you know, they're not allowing you to go out to eat and all that. Some restaurants are still doing delivery. So some people are utilizing those services, but in many places that's even canceled as well.
Yeah. Well, I still have delivery. The interesting thing about the cooking thing is I've got an almost 14-year-old daughter who I've taught her. I mean, I'm a nutritionist and we eat really healthy, but we are often too busy for her to learn how to cook a lot of stuff. And over the last year or two, we've been getting better at it. Cause I'm like, oh my God, when you get out in the world, you need to be able to know how to do this without having to Google Jamie Oliver videos.
Right.
And she and I have spent the last week, we're not quite in lockdown, but doing a lot more cooking together because she's studying from home and I work from home anyway. And it's been fun to watch her, and this is for people with kids, right? Kids aren't known for eating their greatest variety of vegetables, but the minute they start cooking for themselves, they choose to include healthier foods. It's amazing how the last couple months I've seen a shift in what she's trying to eat because she's cooking it for herself. And you don't realize that, but it's,
That's a great tip, Kira, because I have a lot of friends with kids that are starting to have some troubles being cooped up with the kids at home for so long. So getting the kids involved in the cooking could be a great plan.
Absolutely.
Sure.
And you know, as a working mom, because my husband and I both work full time, I'm always just tired and in a rush to get dinner done. And so I don't take the time to teach because I'm like, I just want to eat and I want to get us, you know, so that we can have some relaxed time. Whereas now that could be, you have all the time in the world to not get frustrated when my child's not little anymore, but you know, cooking with little kids is also a little bit terrifying.
Right.
Itself.
Yeah.
But
we're not saying,
but you
all
now
kids.
Have the time for it.
Older kids,
and
maybe.
And it doesn't all have to be cookies and cakes, which is what kids always get taught to cook first.
Yep.
But I can upload or send you. I have a really yummy, healthy banana bread recipe that's got zucchini in it and, you know, stuff. Although they, yeah. So I can send some stuff through if you want.
Yeah, you can sneak veggies into stuff like that. That's
oh my
pretty
God,
cool.
Yeah, and there's avocado so many, with brownies.
Yep.
Yeah.
So many creative recipes now. So
yeah.
Before we get a little bit more into the astrology, what about exercise? What are your thoughts about how much is too much and how much is enough? Like how much just in general? Well, I mean, I think this advice is going to apply in generally, but just to boost your immune system, what would be the minimum amount that we should be doing at home?
Look, I really would. You know, if people are allowed out to walk, even if it's by themselves or they have an exercise bicycle at home or doing yoga at home, I would be trying to do something at least every other day at the minimum. So I would say, you know, I would like to say 5 times a week, but people feel overwhelmed with that. But 4 to 5 times a week, a trick I play with clients is I say every other day you have to exercise. So if you've exercised today, you always get tomorrow off. And it really works for their mindset because they just go, okay, well, do it today. I get tomorrow off. But if on your day off, you feel like exercise because then you can have the next day off, but you don't accrue or collect days off and you never get 2 days off in a row.
Okay.
And that is one of the best. Does that make sense? That is one of the best mind. It's a complete mind trick.
Yeah.
I have managed to get people who never exercise to finally exercise because they kind of go, oh, it's my day off, but I kind of feel like I could exercise today. So I'll do it because tomorrow I might not feel like it.
Yeah.
And then they just, all of a sudden they're like, oh, I exercised 6 days this week. So,
nice.
You know, as far as research on exercise goes, we know exercise stimulates and enhances our immune system. Very high intensity exercise and hard exercise does create a slight window where you are a little bit more prone to catching things. It causes a slight depression, I could say, of the immune system, but it overall creates a better enhancement. So right now, with great stress in people's lives, I wouldn't say this is the time to be doing really high intensity if you don't normally do it. I definitely would not be at gyms if they're still open, because doing high intensity and being in that environment's not great. But, you know, gentle or whatever normal exercise people do, or yoga, you are actually, we know exercise enhances the number of what are called natural killer cells in the body. And overall, it just functions better. It's better for, you know, it's a detoxification process, exercise. So, and it makes you feel good. Great endorphins, lifts your mood, and then you're typically hungrier for healthier foods on top of it. So I would love to see people doing something at least every other day.
Right. Thanks for that, yeah. Kira. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
And then just shifting to astrology a little bit.
Yeah.
We were going to talk a little bit about the first house and the sixth house, and the first house being a place where you can look at for your to learn a little bit more about your unique constitution and needs, and the sixth house in terms of what you might need to bolster, or what you can kind of be looking for in terms of where problems might arise, or where you need to put in a little effort to find balance. So what can you tell folks about that? Like if you can pull up a copy of your chart, if you don't have your own astrology program, you can head over to astrocharts.com. It's like astro-charts or astro.com, and run a free chart. And
yeah.
You're just going to look for the sign that's on the cusp of the first house or sixth house, and also for the planets in those houses.
Yeah.
But what else can you tell us about that?
I love that new website with the astro charts.
Me too. It's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gorgeous. I have it on my website. You can click from my website to the to do your chart that way. That's what I have you.
Oh, perfect. And tell people what that URL is for your website, because that's an easy way to get to it.
Mine is astrologyofhealth, all one word, .com.au.
Perfect.
No.
It's just .com.
Yeah, it's just .com. Yeah. Sorry. My regular naturopathic sports nutrition website, which has nothing to do with astrology. I kind of run my sacred side business. It's not a side business, but my sacred side is the astrology. And then I have pure sports nutrition naturopathy, and that's just kirasutherland.com.au. But they're kept quite separate.
Yeah.
But both out there. But yeah, so one of the things about in medical astrology or regular astrology, even, is the first house is about your physical body. You know, your ascendant or your rising sign, which is what starts the first house. They talk about that as the doorway of your chart, where it opens. We often, in describing a rising sign, we talk about it's the filter that you put everything through. But in medical astrology, I also like to say it's like if you are a warrior, it's your shield that you're carrying into battle, right? The first house is very much about our physical body. And I find medically, when we're stressed, we kind of ricochet straight back to that first house, because when we're stressed, our body thinks we're being attacked, and we approach it with our kind of first house and ascendant energetic. So we go into battle with our little shield of whatever we were gifted at birth. So, you know, what is on that rising sign, as well as planets within, very much physically come into battle for ourselves on a daily basis for our health, but also with illnesses or diseases and stuff like that. You know, what sits within that first house, we often experience very physically. Mm. So, you know, looking at that and, you know, learning all the medical astrology and signs and what rules what, if that's too tricky, just go back to the element. And one of the things I think we could do while we're at home right now is look at, what element do you have on your rising sign in that first house? Is it water, earth, air, or fire? And do some activities that make that element feel good. You know, I've got a husband who, I sounded hesitant about that. My
husband is are you sure you have a husband?
I started to say partner, and then I just thought, no, it's easier to say husband. It's too confusing when I say partner. Anyway, my husband is an earth sign, but he can often get stuck up in his head because he's got a lot of air in his chart. So I went before closed down, and I went to the hardware store and bought potting mix and some new pots, and I bought a lot of seedlings of all the medicinal herbs culinary medicinal herbs that grow in our gardens. And my plan after the new moon, once the moon hits Taurus this week, is we're having little, I live in a townhouse, so I don't have a garden. So we're going to do some potting and some earthing and some grounding exercises, especially for him, because he forgets to be in that physical earthy part of his chart. Or people with lots of water there, you know, this is bath time. If you don't have a bathtub, get a bucket and make yourself a foot bath with really nice essential oils or aromatherapy, or that's the same thing. I meant to say like bath salts. Or, you know, making sure you're drinking enough fluids. The fire signs do want to make sure they're doing some movement. I mean, we should all be moving, but, you know, or something really creative. People forget how creative fire is. And, you know, again, we have a lot of fire residing within our house. I went to the art store and bought tons of craft supplies and arts, because that it's a great way to kind of keep that energy going. Yeah, there's simple things. You know, the air signs, it's reading. That's really easy. But nurture that, no matter how the stress going on, nurturing that first house cusp is a great way to placate your stress response and your adrenals, which are ruled by that first house.
And with the air signs, I think it's important to choose what you're reading wisely, because I have an air sign ascendant, and, you know, I like all of you, I spend a little bit of time every day kind of obsessing on getting the latest stats in my area and the world, and I'll get curious about different places and look those things up. And before you know it, I've spent, you know, well over an hour, and then come across these stories that are really depressing and tragic. And what Kira is talking about, nourishing the air sign, isn't going there, but like, you know, reading material that's actually nourishing to you, or maybe uplifting or inspiring, or that's teaching you something. You know, air signs just like to learn. That's part of the process. Learn for some of them, or share information as part of it. You know, if you have Libra rising, maybe you're sharing the information with someone else, right? Yeah. So
absolutely. And, you know, in North America, in the Northern Hemisphere, I've got to think globally here for a minute, you guys have just hit spring, right? Like, a day ago, you just had the equinox. This is spring cleaning time. We're all at home. This is the, you know, this is the best chance to Marie Kondo your entire life, right? and that brings in a lot of fire by doing something like that. That's, you know, this is, we have the new moon in Aries starting in 10 hours. And, you know, new moon in Aries is that, it's that new seed. This is a burst of energy. This is, we've got a lot of fire. We want to do something. So let's, you know, it's a great, as soon as we hit that new moon, it's a great time to start a health, the best new moon to start a new health regime right now. And yeah, get yourself organized with whether it's exercise or food or doing that big clean out. It's, you know, we have the time to purge all that staleness right now in a way we don't normally have. I think that's healthy.
Definitely. And then if we shift to this, to the sixth house, how would you describe that difference between first and sixth?
Yeah. So first house is very much how I want you to nurture your body physically and planets within, as I talked about before. And then we look the sixth house. The sixth house traditionally in medical astrology is the house of disease. But I think in modern times, it really becomes the house of disease and health. You know, its natural ruler is Virgo. It's obviously different with different rising signs. And Virgo rules natural medicine, health. It rules hygiene. Let's talk about hygiene right now. I've never heard so much hygiene talk in my life, which I find it quite funny. You know, if you go back in traditional mythology, we have Asclepius, who is the father of medicine or God, and his daughter slash wife, because it's always a bit confusing with those gods. he had three daughters. I'm going to go with the daughter myth. And one of them was Panacea, which is about medicines. Another daughter is escaping me right now. But the third daughter, the one I often focus on, is Hygieia. And she is the goddess of health and hygiene. And when we talk about hygiene, we're not just talking about hand washing or sanitizing, but we're talking about healthy living principles of natural living. And she's very Virgoian. That's not really a word, but I'm going with
Virgoian.
It.
Virgoian. Yeah, people say Virgoian. Yeah.
Virgoian.
Yeah.
I even say Virgoian. I don't know why. But anyway, Virgoian. And, you know, it all gets intertwined. That's a very sixth house thing. So the sixth house is where we're of service to others, but it's also your daily routine and ritual. And it's a house of health. So what not better? I mean, we did a whole lecture on this earlier in the year, but this is where you daily grind on your regime of healthy living. And if we can keep this house healthy and placated, hopefully it doesn't cause as much ill health on us, because its traditional thing is, what's the sign on the cusp of the sixth? What planets are within the sixth? What is the ruling planet of the sixth? We also have to look at that. And then what are the aspects to that? It's just like regular astrology. You know, there's 25 things to look at. But just even supporting that house and that daily routine in really simple things. But, you know, yes, I could rabbit on about food, but it's those rituals. Like, a ritual I often suggest for people is that have really busy lives is, when you wake up in the morning, don't rush. I want you to wake up, get up slowly. Don't, if you rush, you jam up your cortisol levels, which are already high at this time, and cortisol suppresses the immune system. And go make yourself your cup of tea, cup of coffee, whatever it is that works for you. And I think this would be a great thing to do as we're all at home, but go make that warm cup of whatever or cold cup and sit back down on your couch. If you're in a, you know, put a little blanket on you so you're nice and nurtured, and don't turn on the internet. Don't just check your emails, but read something or journal or just sit and talk or do something, but do something where you're giving back to yourself and just being still for those first 30 minutes of waking up and giving back to the self, because then A, it's a lot easier to give to others for the rest of the day and we're all around each other, but it's just, it's that acknowledging of letting the body wake up and start its routine. And I think that's a beautiful ritual for the sixth house. Start your day healthy. Start your breakfast healthy. You know, even if we're not great eaters at the moment, have a super healthy breakfast, because I find a super healthy breakfast isn't necessarily cereal. I just want to put that out there. In my house, okay, if you have amazing oats and Bircher muesli and you put all kinds of crazy stuff in it, but in my house, we have a saying, people aren't going to like me for this, but I might, my daughter repeats me all the time. She's like, cereal is a waste of a meal. There's so much joy to be had out of foods. Don't just have some processed boxed cereal, you know. It's a great time to sneak in veggies in an omelet or eggs or, you know, but do a super healthy breakfast as a ritual right now, because you will find if you eat healthy breakfast, you will tend to eat healthier the rest of the day. Whereas if you start the day with just a big hit of wheat or cereal or just toast, I'm not saying these are bad for you by any means, but a lot of people just do cereal and dairy. You know, it's just milk and wheat. There's so many other more vibrant things you could be doing for your body at that point. You will feel so much better the rest of the day. Don't waste what is a really fun meal.
Thanks for that, Kira. And what if people have planets in the sixth house? Do you see those as potential problems and resources, or how do you see them?
Yes, they have to be both, right? Yeah. Yes, there are potential problems. Things in the sixth house you will experience physically at some point, or you need to learn to nurture them somehow so that they don't cause a lot of physical ailments. I often, and I know you've heard me say this a million times, Tony, but if you play with a planet, if you just said a much better Virgo word. You talked about planets as resources. Find their resources, find their gifts, and use them. If you keep a planet happy and well used or feeling like it's been paid attention to, they don't tend to arc up and cause as many troubles. You know, it's like the way I do it is with, you know, planets are like, you know, you can look at the whole natal chart like a classroom, and you're the teacher and you've got all these different planets and all these different signs and houses, and you are juggling a crazy hot mess of who you are. And we have certain parts of our chart we don't like, or we ignore, or we just can't tap into it. We're like, oh, I'm a little uncomfortable with that area. I'm just not going to go there. And those are like the naughty kids in the class that are being ignored. And what does a naughty kid do when he's being ignored? He gets naughtier because he wants more attention. And yes, there's accidents and illnesses that are just bad luck or mishap. But in general, when a planet starts to wobble, when it starts to kind of ask you to look at it, that's what it's asking. And it's let it become that resource, as Tony said, that's such a good word. Take it out for a play, take it for a walk, rather than ignoring it, because it's the ignored planets that then create other energy so that you have to focus on them. That's probably my best advice for six house planets, especially. Find how to keep that planet happy, and it hopefully will stay healthy.
Can you give us a couple of examples, maybe Mars and, I don't know, another planet of what you might suggest for somebody?
Sure.
What would it look like to take Mars out for some fun?
Take Mars out. He's a warrior, man, or she. You know, Mars in medical astrology is one of the malefics. So these are the, you know, causers of problems. And right now in the sky, these guys are hanging out together, right? Which is why we're in this global, it's so archetypical of what's happening right now with Mars and Saturn coming together at the moment. And hopefully we peak this week and then we start to find some sense in our global community with the moving into Aquarius. But Mars, like Mars in the sixth, Mars causes inflammation, acute ailments. It is infection, but it's also part of your immune system. It's your warrior part of your immune system. It can cause pain, irritation, redness, fever. You know, Mars can trigger a cold or a flu of any type, but it can cause back problems, all kinds of stuff. But Mars, what's Mars about? Mars is your action, it's your drive, it's doing something. It's, you know, my favorite thing for Mars is exercise, right? Not if you're sick. If you are actively sick, you should rest. Yeah? If there already is a Mars situation going on in your body, rest, relax, go the opposite, go Venus, right? And nurture. But, you know, I always talk about getting your Mars on, going out and doing something physically makes it really happy, be it boxing, running, any type of sport. Martial arts are a classic Mars sport, but just running. But other Mars things, Mars is just creative and doing things and getting things done. And I'm sure you're thinking of five other things I haven't thought of right now, Tony. So add to my story.
No, I think that was great.
How would you take your Mars out? Like, yeah.
Well, I've had clients with Mars in the sixth house, and I've had a client say to me that basically they know their Mars is there in the sixth, and if they don't use it, if they don't express it, that's what gets them into trouble. So it's sixth house is also routines, like you were saying. And so they have a routine of doing some kind of Mars activity. Like you said, I have one client who also has mental health issues and has Mars in the sixth then. And he does martial arts. And if he doesn't do martial arts, he gets out of balance with his mental health stuff.
And it
sneaks up on him because he might just take a week off from the martial arts, and then that turns into 2 weeks and then 3 weeks. And then he has kind of a flare up with the mental health stuff. And then he's like, oh, you know, and it takes him a while to remember. Oh yeah. This is what makes me feel good.
Yeah.
I stopped doing the martial arts. And it's like, sometimes he thinks there's a big problem. And then all he has to do is get back to the martial arts classes. And the problem just kind of naturally resolves for him. And he's lucky in that way. Not everybody's chart works like that, but for him, there is a simple, kind of way to come back into balance for him.
And exercise is one of your best natural treatments for mental health. I mean, it doesn't fix the problems and there's what's going on in people's lives. I'm not saying that, but there's good research on exercise and mental health, which is very strong. Yeah.
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 What about if somebody has Venus in the sixth house? What would a Venus sixth house problem look like?
So Venus and Jupiter are more your luxury planets. You know, in traditional medical astrology, they're actually what are referred to as benefic. They bring good health. And so, you know, Venus there is actually considered not a bad thing, but I want to move to a bit of modern astrology interpretation. Venus is about luxury. It's about sugar. It's, you know, your five senses. It's relaxing on a couch, looking at, you know, looking at fine art and listening to music. It's, Venus is lazy. I'm going to sound mean. She's lazy. You know, think of Botticelli's The Birth of Venus. You know, you've got that gorgeous Aphrodite. Is she out doing martial arts, or is she lying on a couch with some gorgeous Greek god feeding her grapes? I like to think that's probably what she's doing. While somebody else is playing music in the background. And Venus and Jupiter, you know, Venus is sugar. And she will often cause a bit of a sweet tooth. So with Venus or Jupiter there, as I said, it's meant to be pretty good, but you have to be careful of your overindulgences. And I think Venus and Jupiter are our modern day health causing issues. I'm not going against traditional astrology. I'm just kind of flipping on to, we have so much excess at the moment. We can buy any food at any time, alcohol, fats, like there's just, you know, so much is available that we overdo it all. And so if we have Venus in the six, I would ask people to keep her in check, you know, because she could create ailments of, even traditionally we would say ailments of luxury and excess,
right.
Not moving, not eating properly. You know, the opposite to Venus is Mars. Get her moving. You know, the opposite to Jupiter is Saturn in remedies. And so I sometimes like to think, even though we go, oh, these are these two malefic planets, Saturn and Mars, they're actually what bring action and structure to our lives. And I think that's a lot of what our sixth house actually needs. So what a lot of us need, you know, we have 65-70% of the population in the Western culture being overweight, and not taking care of their bodies to the level they should. And, you know, the healthier you are, the stronger your immune system. Did that answer that? What,
that
how to play
great.
With Venus in the sixth without eating. There's all kinds of, that's all your other five senses besides taste.
Right. Right.
For something besides the taste side.
Or there's ways to make food enjoyable that's also healthy. There's this myth out there that if it's healthy, it's terrible, or it tastes bad, or you're not going to like it. But there's...
Except kale.
No,
kale.
You can sneak kale.
Kale tastes like... You can sneak into other things.
You can flavor it. Yes.
Kale is not a fun flavor by itself.
But here's my kale secret. If you chop it up really small...
Yep.
You can put a little bit in so many different things that you wouldn't even notice it was there.
You can. So absolutely. And I do eat kale, but it got touted as such this thing. And I think, you know, if you want to know my top five green veggies, you know, kale got touted as a superfood, but to be in all honesty, the true green superfood, and maybe we could start a new movement, is broccoli. Broccoli is the jam. It's got so many other amazing properties that kale doesn't have. I'm not dissing kale, sort of. But yeah, and broccoli is incredible for a lot of other reasons, which I won't go into scientifically, but it's very good for detoxifying the body. It brings in more sulfur into the diet, which is great for the health. And it's, but if you have thyroid problems, you should always cook. If you have a slow thyroid, you need to cook all your broccoli and brassica family so that it breaks apart some chemicals that can actually be a bit hard for the thyroid. But as long as you cook it, it's
fine. To the point where it's not crunchy, right?
Yeah, it needs to be. It doesn't have to be soggy like your grandma did, but did everyone else have grandmothers that boiled everything to death?
Yes, 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 for sure. Yes.
Yeah. I still to this day can't eat. I just don't like green peas because I think I ate them every day of my life for like 20 years.
They were popular when our generation was growing up.
Yeah. Lima beans, green peas.
I was lucky. Like, my grandma was not a fan of lima beans, and neither was I.
String beans.
Before we go, Kira, do you want to say a few words about what people might be bringing in or experiencing energetically with Saturn and Mars moving into Aquarius health-wise?
Yeah.
What type of shift is that? So we just folks listening, we just had Saturn shift into Aquarius, I think yesterday as we're recording this, and Mars will be joining up here just really soon.
Friday? Is it Friday? Maybe.
It's soon. While you're talking, I'll look up the date for people.
So when I was researching to do a different lecture recently, I went into the health things around, I was looking a lot at, I'm quite obsessed with Saturn and Mars. And, you know, with those both moving into Aquarius, we really need to look at nourishing our nervous system right now. You know, Aquarius is that higher octave of our nervous system and stress. And so as much as we've had a lot of stress over the last couple of weeks, we really shift, especially with these two planets moving into Aquarius, we really need to nurture that nervous system. And the nervous system is really nourished through foods that are very high in magnesium and foods that are very high in your B vitamins. So for your B vitamins, we're looking at whole grains, we're looking at seeds and nuts. With the nervous system, we're looking at high magnesium foods, which is all your bright colored foods, your dark green leafy veggies. So those are two big things to really focus on. But the other thing is, with it moving into Aquarius, this is opposite Leo. And Leo is the sun, and it's also about vitamin C. And so as Mars and Saturn move into Aquarius, our body might be actually asking us for more vitamin C at this time. And we also know vitamin C is fantastic for when people have bacteria and viruses and stuff like that. So I really think we have this upped need for, you know, vitamin C foods are, again, your bell peppers, your citrus foods, and things like that. You know, if people choose to take supplements, that's up to them. I'm not telling anybody to go out and buy anything, but C becomes a really big thing, especially with Saturn moving into Aquarius. Our need could potentially go up a little bit for that. And as well, this, you know, Leo rules vitamin D, or the sun rules vitamin D as well. So, you know, making sure we stabilize our C and our D levels. I'm not heroic levels of vitamin, taking large doses of vitamin D have actually been suggested to not be a good thing with what's going on at the moment, but making sure you have adequate vitamin D. And all of Northern Hemisphere has just come out of winter, which means your vitamin D is at its lowest of where it normally is. So getting out in the safe sunshine for 30 minutes a day, all arms and legs, trying to take sun where you can, which helps the body synthesize vitamin D. It combines with cholesterol, makes more D. Or other people, if they're worried or you're living really far north, cold climates, hopefully you've been taking some vitamin D over the winter, or you could do it now, but not heroic things, just normal 1,000 IU dosage. But I think the C and the D become really important as we move into this energy with Aquarius, with it being opposite to Leo, because often we need more of what is opposite, you know, with these opposite signs. I hope I explained that properly. And vitamin D foods are very hard to get as for vegetarian sources. So all of you choosing more of a plant-based diet, you especially need to be aware of vitamin D and your zinc levels. Zinc can be quite hard to get in huge amounts with plant-based diets. And I'm not having a go at any diet. All be whatever diet works for you the best in your body right now is where I'm saying you should be. But, and you know, your fat soluble vitamins, vitamin A as well, becomes really important for stability of the lungs moving forward. And I mean, because we do also have Neptune in Pisces at the moment. Ooh, that was a little rant, wasn't it?
That was great. That was good. That was good. Thanks. No, I mean, we got a picture of the shift there from Capricorn to Aquarius. I mean, you mentioned bones. I mean, bones, I think, have been maybe featured since Saturn and Mars have been in Capricorn. And now there's a shift from an earth sign to an air sign. And so it's good to hear about.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited for this shift.
For the shift, right? Yeah.
I think this will create that, you know, that a very different energy about how the world is dealing with this. I'm ready for the global shift.
Yeah, it would be wonderful to see some new solutions for sure. So let's hope for that. Let's vote for that reality. Yeah. And with that, I'll let you go for today. Thanks for joining us today, Kira. It's been great having you on the show. And thanks for the tips and advice. And if you'd like to learn more about Kira and her work with medical astrology, you can head over to astrologyforhealth.com. And astrologyofhealth.com.
Or Astrology University.
Yeah. Yep. And if, we've got a couple of courses of Kira's on Astrology University. If you liked what Kira was saying about the elements, one a really popular class of hers is the Elements of Health, where she talks about all of the elements in more detail, along with some, I think you talk about natural remedies in there.
I do a lot of natural remedies and a lot of foods. I go into a lot of foods with the elements.
Yeah. So and, that's
Don't make it tricky for yourself at the moment. Just go. Let's start a rush on buying the fruit and veg, not the carbs.
That's right. That's right. Well, I know some of it's practical, right? People are being encouraged to only go to the store once a week or not go very often. So they're trying to get things that aren't going to go bad. But, you know, if that's the case, stock up on the veggies and then, you know, eat those until they're gone. And then you can rely on the what's left until you have to get to go to the store again. So skip the veggies.
Most veggies will make it a whole week in your fridge, right?
Yeah, definitely. Well, thanks, Kira. And
always awesome to talk to you again. Thank you, Tony. Soon. Yeah.
Okay, take care. Thanks for tuning in to the Astrology University podcast. Study astrology online with some of the great astrologers of our time at www.astrologyuniversity.com, where we offer webinars, online classes, and virtual summits to bring you inspiration, connection, and insight through the study of astrology. Take good care, and we'll see you next time.